Okay, come on, if you love Jesus, shout a big amen. Amen. Good morning, Kaylee. She's so worried that I'm going to pull a Donna and like ask her to sing when I walk over there. All right, come on. How many of you love Jesus? Jesus is good. Come on. So I'm 21 years old, and I just received, not today, 21 years old, I received Jesus, and if you know my story, it's a radical, crazy testimony, getting mugged and beat up, left in the street, and hearing the audible voice of God at 21, in Seattle, Washington, moved back to Portland. my first night in church, I got invited to go to church by a friend of mine from high school that was a horrible influence on me in high school. And I got saved and came home, and on my first Sunday back, he rolled up on my front yard, and I thought, oh no, Jesus, I can't see him. Like, this is bad. Like, why is he here? I was trying to hide. Like, he's the worst influence on my life. And it's so funny because he knocks on my door Sunday morning and he opens the door and he says, hey, I heard you were back in town. I said, yeah. And he says, listen, before you speak, something I want you to know. He said, you were the worst influence I ever had in my life. Serious, this is a true story. He says, you're the worst influence I ever had in my life. And he says, I didn't even want to see you. And he goes, but I got saved and I became a Christian. And the Lord told me to come over to your house and invite you to church. Now, I didn't say to him, no, you were the worst influence in my life. I literally got so excited. It's incredible. Went on a Sunday morning with him to church, didn't meet anybody, didn't know anything. On Tuesday night the next week, he took me to the young adults group, and this is where many of you have heard my story. It was my first time really with, you know, meeting people, and I walk in that night, and my buddy, at the end of the service, he liked this girl, and he drove, and at the end of the service, he ditched me at the service and went out with a girl. He says, I'll be back. And the guy never came back. Okay, so I'm still working through it, you know, my offense. But then something happened. The pastor that night walks up to me and sees that I'm alone, and he says, hey, would you help me put away all the chairs? And so now I'm there all by myself. It's just Pastor Steve and myself. I don't know anybody. And he says, will you help me put away the chairs? So I helped him put away the chairs that night. And in a spiritual sense, I've been putting away chairs for the last 30 something years. Can I hear an amen? I mean, that was it. That pastor loved me, took care of me, him and his wife, Debbie. They saw potential in me, the Jesus potential. And they took me under their wing. Pastor Steve and Debbie pastored me for like years and years. They also knew that I needed a little help. And so a few months later, they moved me into their house because I didn't really have anywhere to live that was safe at that time. Moved me into their house, took care of me. And Pastor Steve was my first pastor. And I could go through the last 30 years of what he and Debbie have meant to me. This last year, a little over a year ago now, I don't remember what the calendar is, but he actually passed away. He went to be with Jesus. And after a long battle with cancer, and you know, it's one of those sad, glad moments. And I just, you know, when I think back over 30 years of being a Christian now, two of the most influential people in my life were Steve and Debbie. I don't think I would be standing here if it wasn't for them. And someday I'm gonna see Steve again. But this morning I just had the incredible privilege just to give somebody a hug. His wife, Debbie, is here with us this morning. Pastor Debbie Trujillo is with us this morning. They pastor a great church in Portland called the Father's House. And Pastor Debbie, I just want to say thank you for investing into my life. And I want to honor you for decades on decades on decades of being faithful and building churches and going through the good times and the bad times, having a big heart when you need a big heart, keeping your heart right when you had to keep your heart right, and having faith to reach the city of Portland, Oregon, and for touching my life. So church, here's what you're going to do. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to clap and scream and shout for one of my pastors who's here this morning, Pastor Debbie Trujillo. We love you. Stay standing, by the way. We love you. Oh. So stay standing. I want to pray, but it's funny. I did a message this last year on DNA, and I used the illustration of that when Kaylee plays the piano, you can hear something in her playing that you don't hear unless you hear Donna play, because Donna was her teacher. So there's a DNA, there's a style, something that she passed on. And people have asked me 100 times over the years, who was Donna's piano teacher? Pastor Debbie was my wife's piano teacher. And so when you guys get to enjoy Donna's piano playing, this is her teacher. And when you hear her play, you're hearing her play. And when you hear her play, we're hearing you play. So thank you. For 100,000 worship services by people all over the world that have your touch on their life. Yeah, amazing. And as we were praying this morning, I felt something from the Lord. I felt that there's some people here that are having some anxiety today. I don't know why the Lord spoke to me about anxiety. Maybe it's because I'm going to preach on money. Come on, somebody. But I felt like this thing with anxiety today. And so what I want to do is we pray. I'm going to pray for that. Lord Jesus, I pray for everybody that's here. And we love you so much. Even if we don't know you, we love you. Jesus has a great plan for you. Father, I pray you bless every person that's here today, all those online. I pray, Lord, that you would enter into their spirit. I pray, Father, that we would open our hearts to your spirit, and your spirit would enter in, and then there would be this relief of anxiety today. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. I pray, Father, you'd bless them and strengthen them. And if they feel weak, I pray for strength. If they're confused, I pray for clarity. They may not get answers today, Jesus, but they do get direction towards you and your faith, and your love in them. So, Lord, we give you the glory for that. And I pray today for every single church in the Denver metro area. I pray that you'd bless every church. I pray you'd bless every pastor that's preaching, every song that is being sung, every congregation that's giving it their all. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the level of the Holy Spirit would begin to rise in Denver, Colorado, in this fall as we go into the holidays. I pray for revival in our state. I pray, Lord, you'd bless it from the very top, most top point of authority in our state at the Capitol, all of us here in this room today. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come. I pray that you would bless our city, and I pray, Lord, that people would get released from anxiety and addiction and frustration and loneliness. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing here today. We give you all the glory, we give you all the praise, and we love you with all of our hearts, everything that is in us. We are a grateful people today. Lord, I am grateful. I'm grateful before I'm anything else because I know what you've done in my life. I remember that moment 21 years ago when I bowed my knee to Jesus, and I'm grateful that I'm still here and that I'm still in the race. And Father, today I pray that you would bless this time together. Open up our thoughts and our minds by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Come on. And everybody shouted amen, and everybody claps their hands. Come on. Everybody gives a big shout to Jesus because we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. Now give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. And it's really good to see all of you today. All right, second service is always confession time of what goes wrong in the first service. In the first service, it was really funny because some of you were here, but I was preaching from a set of notes and they had something different upstairs. So while I'm preaching, I'm seeing something a little different, and then I got completely lost. Thank God that we serve a big God who doesn't care how I preach. Come on, God moves anyways. I'm gonna switch it up a little today in the second service. We are in a Heart for the House season. Heart for the House is our one time a year offering to give above and beyond what it is that, to help what God's doing here in the house. If you're a part of a church anywhere, if you've been through this, you know the deal. This is our vision offering for the year. This is where we raise money to do some things in the city or in the building that we can't usually do throughout the year with our normal giving and our budget. It has to be above and beyond all we could ask or think, and it always has been. So first of all, I wanna say thank you to all of you that are here. If you're visiting today, I hope this message blesses you. I'm gonna pray for the offering at the end. You don't have to give, right? Somebody asked me this morning early, like, what do you do in these moments? Well, I could come out and say, you know, like, if you're here today, that's God. You know what I mean? Like, I was laughing at myself walking down the hall. Look, you don't have to give. We're glad you're here. Maybe something in the message is gonna bless you, but we don't have any expectations of that. So I'm gonna start by just getting something out here of what we wanna do this year. I'm gonna start this morning with some of the things that we're giving to, and I'm gonna go quickly through this because I do wanna preach. But I have some special things that I believe that God wants to say to us as a church. Now, if you love Jesus and all that he's doing in our house, I need you to shout amen one more time because I am gonna try to go through this. I'm gonna try to not focus on everything, but we'll start here. We'll just kind of wing it. But the first thing we wanna do this year is this. You remember where this sign is? There used to be a door. Well, I closed off the door. We're gonna move the doors, and right here is gonna be a coffee bar. Now, some of you might say to yourself, it's a coffee bar. How does that change the kingdom? It changes my kingdom. At 7 a.m. every Sunday. But also, you know, it's a ministry for us. So some of you are in the church because this is true. This is a true story. We have a ministry behind our coffee bar. We just don't serve coffee. Some of you, when you went to get your coffee, somebody from our host team accosted you in the name of Jesus and loved you. This is the best coffee I've ever had in my life. And you realize that, no, we actually have our hospitality out there so that we can meet people. And it's a strategy, and I believe it's an anointed strategy. So we're gonna put in a coffee bar here this next year. Going on to the next one, if you were with us last night in A4, which is Auditorium 4, this is where we had our Spheres meeting last night. Now, this is our second auditorium. In this auditorium, we've been working on it for literally 4 years, and it's almost done. This year, we want to finish it up, and there's some good reasons why we finish it up. We had a great dinner. By the way, if you were at Spheres last night, can you please raise your hand or say something obnoxious? Because the business people are just obnoxious. Okay, so we had this place packed out last night. It was a great meeting. We have those stringing lights because we actually don't have any other lights right now. We need to put in some lights. We need to build a stage. And the reason is, I'm gonna skip so you have to follow me up here. The reason is because we use this room literally for everything that we do, for all the conferences. But this year, we are going to be launching a Spanish service, TPC Hispana. Let's jump to that. Let me see, this is Pastor Carolina. Her and her husband, Jordan, are going to be leading this service. We've got a leadership team. We've got a couple of years of hard work behind it, of course, with Pastor Sharon Wager and Bob and all that they're doing. But we're going to believe that at the end of the first year that we're going to fill A4. I'm believing. I'm trying to figure out how many is a seat. I said 400 earlier this morning. It doesn't seat 400. So maybe that's an overflow. I don't know if I'm in the spirit or not. Who knows? But we're going to believe for 300 people at the end of the first year in our Hispanic service. God's moving. Pastor Carolina, we love you. You're doing an incredible job, by the way. All of them just got back from Honduras because that's all the women do in our church is travel around and have revival while we stay home, we clean the house, we take care of the kids, whatever. So we also have a kitchen. If you don't know, we have a kitchen. These are little things, but I want to show you this kitchen. This kitchen is important because this is where we do everything in the church. And this kitchen has some issues, y'all. Like, this thing hasn't been touched since the 80s. I'm just telling you, there are things. It looks nice right here, and it's okay, but we have to replace all the broken equipment. We've been working on the pipes and the ceiling. They all broke during the winter this last year. We just fixed this freezer in here. This cost about $20,000 to fix the freezer, but we use it for everything, and we need this if we're going to rent out our facility or continue to rent it out to make some extra income for missions and youth and all those things we do. We need this kitchen fixed, so we're gonna be working on that. And I just think that all these practical things, all of you need to say, that's Jesus, come on. Like, he cares about these things. I'm gonna preach on this. And then this next one, in terms of the building, I don't think it's as important as my wife does, but we're gonna fix the bathrooms. Okay, so I have a couple of issues with this. Well, first of all, the men's is so small compared to the women's. I don't know what that means. But the other issue I have is somewhere along the line, people decided to tile everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever taken tile down? You know, you could have put in walls and painted them, but to fix it, we have to take all of that down. And I just have to believe that he's gonna move supernaturally. And here's something funny. On the back mirror, I never even saw that. Somebody wrote power on the mirror. Look, I can make anything spiritual, y'all. That right there is the Holy Spirit, okay? We're gonna be working on the bathrooms because of the demand that's on the bathrooms. I'll do a couple others quickly here. Kids camp, every year we pay for kids camp. This year we're gonna believe for 200 to 300 kids. We're about 200 now, but we pay for all of our kids to go to kids camp. We also minister to the neighbors. People bring their friends. We don't charge for this. It's probably one of the most evangelistic things that we do throughout the year. And Josh and Tiff and their team do an amazing job. That's about a $25,000 bill for 200 to 300 kids to be here for like 30 days. That's what it feels like. Youth camp's going on every year. We raise money for youth camp. I'm gonna go quickly here. The youth are doing a phenomenal job, but more importantly than that, the youth are about to get their own worship room, their own worship auditorium. And so what you'll see, this is the old choir room. This was built in 1954. Over on the right side, those are all brown doors. That's where all the choir robes used to hang on both sides. And outside of this room, there's actually a shelf that had 136 folders with music in it because that's how many people were in their choir. But now when you walk in here, it's really dilapidated. Like the pictures actually make everything look good. What you notice is that the women have put more of their stuff in there. So the beautiful conference has this, they have this thing like manifest destiny, like if it's there, it belongs to us, right? So they just move in. So we're gonna get all their blocks out of there. And then we're gonna gut it. This is gonna be a youth auditorium. It's time for them to have a place to worship. Right now, the entire youth ministry meets in Kaylee's office. And sometimes it's so hot and so smelly that I just drive away. I just drive as far as I can go and I still have them in my memory. But it's so packed in her office. Sometimes the kids are sitting in the windowsills and all that. And we, by the way, if you saw the little bumper before, you saw generational impact, which is something you're gonna hear about this year. But if you have young people, you have a future. Okay, so that'll preach, right? So if you have kids, you have a future. If you've got children, if you've got youth, if you've got young adults, you have a future. And so we're gonna invest as much as we can into the next generation this year because we're in a transition. Let's keep going through the list here. What else do I have? I did Hispana. Oh, this for the Thanksgiving boxes this year. Every year, we feed a bunch of people Thanksgiving dinners, which means that we have a bunch of volunteers, they put together an assembly line, and we put these giant boxes together with everything that you need for dinner. Now, here's what I didn't know, because in the first service, I used last year's numbers. Last year, I think it was 400 to 500 people that we actually gave them Thanksgiving dinner. This year, we're feeding 1,000 people Thanksgiving dinner this year. That are outside of our church. Some are in, but most are outside of our church in the community. We're gonna be doing 1,000 dinners for people, and we need you to give the Heart for the House this year because you're paying for their dinners. This is what we do. This is one of our community outreaches. And if you can drive and deliver on a Saturday coming up, that'd be really helpful because we gotta get those boxes into the families. And there's incredible stories about what happens when they knock on the door with the box. People break down, they start crying, there's prayer, people get saved. It really is a phenomenal thing. The other one that we do every year at Christmas is we give away Christmas gifts to families. So we take care of around 100, 150 kids. They get all their Christmas gifts because people in the Pearl Church participate in the Giving Tree and they get to open gifts on Sunday morning. And we wanna do more. If we could do 500 kids, we'd do it. But it's all based on giving. And then I suppose, is this okay? Can I do a couple more? I want you to hear this. I know I'm using my preaching time, but in my mind, I'm not using my preaching time. So every year, we also sow into some church plants. Now, I believe with all my heart, I believe that competition between churches is almost demonic a little bit. Like, I don't think the pastors, I don't think I'm demonic. But I feel like pastors struggle from this thing called competition because you're just fighting over those same people. We don't believe in that. So what we do is we pray for every church every Sunday. We have hundreds of pastors that we minister to in encouragement. And every year we give a couple of seeds to church plants. It wouldn't matter to me, and the Lord will test me on this, and I'm okay with it. It wouldn't matter to me if the church was across the street, we would still bless it. It wouldn't matter to me. It wouldn't matter to me if it was across the street and you decided to go there, I would consider you part of the seed. Because I think this is how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. So this year, we're gonna take care, but we're gonna sow two seeds into local church plants. The first one is Nate and Michaela Gay, their Devo church. They're gonna be meeting up above the Highlands somewhere into Arvada, somewhere in that area. I can't remember what they've decided, but they will launch here in a couple of months. They're gonna build a great church. They're good friends of ours. They're coming in, we're praying with them, and they're just blown away. And we're gonna buy them a keyboard because they don't have a keyboard. We're gonna help them out. And then Rodney and Gina Richardson from Victory, Place of Victory Church out in Aurora. These are beautiful friends of ours. I see them every week in the pastor's corner at the local coffee shop. It's like we fight to get there first, right? But they're amazing. They're building a great church. They've actually already launched in their home and they're going, we're going to give them a seed this year as well. Everyone said amen. Okay, and then throw up a picture of encouragement. You know, we minister to about 200 churches a year now that are in our network of friends that come here every year. This is Alex and Henry Seeley from the Belonging Co. Kai's actually leading worship there this morning in Nashville. Go to the next photo. This is a lunch with, these are all lead pastors that come here every year to be strengthened and encouraged and built up. And the total with in three countries is about 200 churches. Guys, I could keep going. Do you feel how much you've done? Now, this is really important. This is why, if this is your house, we need you to give this year. But I want to say something before we do the offering, because I believe that we give to the Lord and not to things. And I want us to be very careful with that. The last one I'll mention here is just what's going on in Honduras right now. In Honduras, a couple of years ago, you all know the story, but just for those of you who don't, We decided to start a women's conference through some of our friends, Jordan and Carolina, who have an outreach and a ministry there where they bless communities and build wells and do all of that. And something very phenomenal has taken place, because you don't go into a country, you don't walk into a nation, pray, and then 200 churches show up and 2,000 women pour into a building. So there's something supernatural on it. I think that some of that, Carol, is some of that is your gift. You have a genuine revival spirit on your life. Sometimes when we have meetings, I'm talking about practical stuff and you're up here in the heavenlies and you're like, well, we could have 10,000, we could have 100,000 women, we could change a few nations. And I'm over here going, okay, but we have to buy cookies for the kids. So how do we, but there's a genuine revival spirit on your life, because there aren't very many people who could get off a plane, walk into a city and start knocking on doors with pastors, praying and prophesying, and gather 2,000 women in 12 months. And I want you to know there's something on your life and something on all of us. And this is the conference that just ended. There was a flood. They were trying to rescue people in boats, and the flood came, and they put out a big thing. We all prayed, and the rain stopped 30 minutes after our prayer. And it was a huge deal, but we also support Honduras and what's going on there. And next year, you know, you have to pray, but my prayer is to all the ladies, and some of the men too, but you know, the ladies are having revival. Ladies, we would love for you to be a part of one of our trips. Go to Honduras, go with us to Mexico, take a trip to one of our churches that's really doing a phenomenal job. These are the types of things that we're giving to. But I'm gonna get into the word for a few minutes now, and what I'd like to say to you is that we have to be very careful when we talk about giving in this manner, because when we talk about Jesus, we're not giving because there's something that the church is doing that we like, and so I'm gonna give to that. And as soon as we give into that kind of mentality, we lose the purpose of generosity, which is we give back to the Lord what already belongs to him. Our giving is an honor to Jesus. We honor him, we love him, we care for him. I'm giving back to God what already belongs to him. It's an honor thing. It's a worship thing. And we have to be very careful. Yes, there are strategies. Yes, when I talked about the youth room yesterday, someone gave some money to the youth room. And by the way, I love that. It's incredible. But how many of you know that when we give as unto the Lord? We don't give as unto the Pearl Church. Because the minute that we give to the church and not to the Lord, we've limited our giving. And the reason is because we're not trying to tap into the natural with our giving. We're tapping into the supernatural. Do we want to give out of the natural, or do we want to give into the supernatural where things are really shifted and things really change? If we really want to see revival come to our city, if we really want to see something happen, we've got to be supernatural people who walk in a supernatural realm and not just function here. Thank you for paying for, you know, the chairs that have to go into our hallway, or thank you for helping us pay for the railings for the new lobby in a couple of years. I love that. That's great. But I don't give to a lobby. I give to Jesus, because Jesus saved me at the age of 21 and has walked me through all these decades of serving him. And I love him with all of my heart, and I've given him everything. And I'm telling you right now, there were opportunities in my life and my wife to go do other things to make more money. But listen to me, when Jesus calls you, when Jesus speaks to you, when Jesus gives you your realm that you're supposed to function in, that's where your greatest place of blessing is. When Sharon and Bob went to Africa, they came up with a saying, you know, Bob has had many opportunities in his lifetime to do other things and make more money, but the safest place, people say, Africa's so dangerous. Why do you go to Africa? Because the safest place, the place of your blessing, is in the place where God has called you to be. Jesus calls us, we don't call him. This is the basis of prayer. Jesus calls us, we don't call him. Jesus speaks to us. We love him, we worship him, we pray to him. We can't manipulate him with our prayers, our needs, or our wants. This is the key to giving. So I'm praying that all of you this next Sunday, when you come back, and I'm gonna end this in a few minutes, when you come back next Sunday, that you come ready to give, and give sacrificially if this is your home. And it's not about the number, but it is about, this is the house that God's called us to. Now, I only have a few minutes left, so I'm gonna try to rip through this. I'm gonna call this message Fixed Upon. Can everyone say fixed? Fixed, okay. I wanna go to the first verse I wanna give you this morning. Is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Now watch this. So we fix our eyes, everyone say fix. Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on what is seen. So when I played baseball as a young kid, the coach would always tell me, wherever you look where your with your eyes, that's where your arm is gonna throw the ball. And it's true. And it's the same in a lot of sports. There's a thing called the hand-eye coordination. And there's a point at which your hand will match what your eyes see. And so, if our eyes are fixed in the natural, our hands are gonna build natural things. If our eyes are fixed in the supernatural, our hands, our natural hands, the things that we do, will build something supernatural. Our eyes need to be focused on what is not seen with our eyes, because that's the kingdom that we're building. The rest of this is temporary. So we're gonna fix our eyes on the unseen. Can everyone say fix? Okay, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13, I know I'm going fast. I can talk fast too if I need to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Filipino and Hawaiian, which means the Filipino or Hawaiians, I don't know if there's any islands here. The Hawaiian part of me goes really slow. But when I need to, the Filipino part of me catches up really fast. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole thing. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we, however, will not boast beyond our proper limits. Now, I'm going somewhere here, not to boast beyond your limits. That means that you have a limit in your life. We like to preach sometimes, no limits. There are limits. There's natural limits. If you don't sing, you're not gonna lead worship. This is not American Idol, people. This is not, every time Elliot comes in and tries to lead worship, we have to have an elders meeting. It's a whole thing. It's like, Elliot, you're so deceived. Let's talk about the self thing, awareness. But there are certain limits that we have. So we don't boast beyond our proper limits. Are we saying that it's okay to brag if you're in your limit? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. And Paul didn't say that. But we will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned. So in other words, it's okay to brag that your God is big. It's okay to brag that your God has good things for you. It's okay to brag in a sense that hey, I love Jesus. Hey, how did that work out for you? It worked out great. Why? Because I serve a big God. I serve the best God. By the way, I love Jesus with all my heart. Jesus can do anything. It's okay for us to brag on Jesus. It's not okay for us to get our eyes off of the supernatural into the natural, where we begin to boast inside of our own limits. Yeah, well, it happened because my name's Elliot. I'm such a good singer. That's why worship went so well. I mean, when I walk onto the platform, come on, my presence moves. Right? No, you can brag on Jesus, and it's okay. A sphere this sphere that we're talking about, the Bible says, also includes you. So we have a sphere as a church. Paul had a sphere as an apostle ministering to churches. Our sphere as a church is our city. We need to bless our city. We need to love our city. We need to pray for our city. We need to practically minister to the needs of our city. This year, in my heart of hearts, this will be the year that we have done more than anything else. I think just the sign that we're doing 1,000 people this week, and I thought we were doing 400, is a spiritual sign that everything we do in the city will double this year. I'm believing that with all of my heart. Because we have a sphere. The Greek word is metron. Everyone has a metron. It's our job to pray for our city, by the way. It's our job to fight the darkness back in our city, because the city is our metron. It's our job to look at Denver, Colorado, and the surrounding areas and contend for it and fight for it and sacrifice for it, because this is our metron. And we can brag about what God is doing. And then I want to talk about Mark 11, and this is where I'll get into some of this. But in the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree. Now, this is Jesus who's just come out of the triumphal entry. He just came in, declared, made a declaration on a donkey. And then this is that season. As they're leaving, this just happened. He begins to give his disciples a metaphor about two different kingdoms as they're walking. In the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered it. And he said, Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed when we walked here this morning, it's dead. It's withered. And they all just sat there and they stared at it. They wanted to say, Jesus said, listen, have faith in God, he answered. Truly, I say to you that if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourselves into the sea, and does not doubt in their hearts, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. Now, we have to be careful with this verse, because these verses get preached incorrectly. This is not like a natural thing. I just say whatever I want, and whatever I want is going to happen. Did you know that God has a will? Did you know that God has a plan? I think that we pray maybe 80% of the time. We pray out of our natural. We pray out of the temporary into the eternal. But we can't see what's in the eternal. So it's okay sometimes that we pray things that God doesn't actually want for us. Because you know what? God is going to minister. He's going to move the mountains that you need, not the mountains that you want. I'm preaching hard right now. Needs and wants. Yeah, God invented them. He understands them. A sphere. What is a sphere then? It's an area of activity, interest, or expertise, and distinguished and unified by a particular. So this word sphere from these verses, it's a place that is unified by a particular characteristic. There's a realm. There is a sphere. God has a sphere, and his sphere is faith. God's sphere, his realm, his metron, is faith. So when we struggle through, we're praying, we're believing God for things for our city, we pray. The minute that we pray, we enter into a supernatural realm. This is God's sphere. He gave you a sphere in your life that you're responsible for. God's sphere is a supernatural realm, a kingdom realm. He's responsible for everything. And as we pray, we walk into it. God's sphere is faith. So look at this. Number one, I have a question. Like, what season are you in? Because in these verses, there's a season. Seeing in the distance a fig tree that was in leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. Well, if you understand trees, if a tree is in leaf, that means something. It means that winter is over. How many in your life have been through winter seasons, and when they're done, it's the best thing that ever happened? You're so glad that that's over with. Spring is here. That means you're seeing signs of life. Sometimes you'll be in an extended season of leaf, and you don't know why. Well, when you understand that we're working inside of two kingdoms, then your season is connected to the season that is above you in eternity. And sometimes when you feel like, why is there no fruit? Because I feel like I'm in leaf, but I'm not getting fruit. Sometimes God is just trying to get our eyes off of the fruit and onto the kingdom. It's not about the fruit, it's about the kingdom. Because the kingdom bears fruit. He says, you know, when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. So you have a tree that is in the right season, but God cursed it anyways. This was really confusing. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 14, it says this, then he said to the tree, you're never going to have fruit again. And it says that the disciples heard him say it. So the disciples are confused. Here's a perfectly good tree in the season that it's in, and God cursed it anyways. And then in scripture, in the great mystery of the canon, it says in our Bibles, and the disciples heard him say it. Why? Because the disciples were in kingdom school. They were in metron school. They were in sphere school because, number two, there's something happening here. Jesus was trying to teach them that the realm of faith cannot be found by focusing on natural fruit. The realm of faith can't be found in the leaves. It can't be found in the fruit. It can't be found in whether it's winter, fall, summer, spring. It doesn't matter because in God's sphere, number two, we can have fruit in any season. God will give you fruit in any natural season. Verse 21, Peter remembered and said, look, it's withered. It's withered. God wants us to understand that whether you're in a fall, God can bless you. Whether you're in a winter, God can bless you. I did a message a few years ago where I took a picture of one of the trees outside. It had no leaves on it. There was snow on the ground. I think it was 20 degrees, and it looked like Siberia. And if you were to look at that tree, you would say, that tree is dead. But just because it doesn't have any leaf and it doesn't have any fruit, there's still something happening underneath the surface. Because in your winter season, you may be dormant, but you're not dead. So regardless of the season, there's still something happening in your life. It doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day, you can still have fruit. It doesn't matter if it's the worst year of your life or the best year of your life, you can still have fruit. It doesn't matter if you're 12, 24, 75, 85, it doesn't matter. You can still bear fruit because God's season is not based on our natural experience. Number three, in God's sphere, faith is the fruit. It doesn't say, he says in verse 22, have faith in God. It doesn't say have fruit in God. Jesus answered, have fruit in God. No, it says have faith. Because in the sphere of God, it's faith that is the fruit. Faith leads to things. It leads to relationship with Jesus. It leads to things that you can't see. The Bible says that no eye has seen or ear heard or mind ever conceived what God has for you. If you love him, those are faith statements. Doesn't mean that you know what it is. If you have faith, God will give you fruit that you weren't even expecting. Faith just comes, or fruit just comes when you have faith. He said, have faith. He didn't say, have fruit in God. Because Christians who believe that their only job is to have fruit in God, live a performance life, you don't understand grace, and you will live your life trying to perform for somebody, whether it's the pastor, the church, a family member, a spouse, you will wake up one day empty because God never told you to have fruit. He told you to have faith. And faith changes everything. And so we're called to have faith. Number four, we need to understand in this verse that moving mountains is not an event. It's a realm. God wants us to live in a realm. God wants us to have faith every year as we go through life so that when we get what we need, not necessarily what we want, and what we need actually was way better than anything I wanted, you realize, oh, I liked that. That was fun. Well, you didn't like it at the moment. Oh, no, because I lost my job. But then I got a better job. See, in the moment, I didn't think I was going to have any money. And then I went into the realm and I contended and God gave me a better job so that I can give and help the church. I liked that. That was a great mountain to move. Well, do that a couple of times. See, I know people in my life that are addicted to the metron of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like speaking to a mountain and telling it to move. But you gotta be willing to let it happen in the will of God and the understanding of God and what he wants to do, not what we wanna do, right? But there's nothing like it. I got up this morning, I walked onto the property, and I said, in Jesus' name, move this mountain. Move the mountain of finance. Because I know you did a miracle last year, you're gonna do a miracle this year. You know what? If we're going to reach people in Denver, Colorado, in Jesus' name, move the mountain that is between us and reaching people and loving people and helping people in our city. Whatever that mountain is, in Jesus' name, I ask you to move it. I know it's going to take money, so I ask you to move the mountain. Lord, I pray that you would help us to finish the maintenance on this building, which is like $150 billion. I pray, Lord, that you would move that mountain in Jesus' name and that you would provide, because we got to fix the thing. If we can fill the thing with people, first we got to fix it in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would move the mountain between us and missions. I pray that you would move the mountain between us and a youth revival. I pray that you would move the mountain between us and healing. Move the mountain between us and the Spirit of God moving in every service. Move the mountains in Jesus' name, because I am addicted to the realm. And let what I do down here have an impact on your heart up here. Let my metron meet your metron. And I pray that in the middle that we can have revival and see God do things that we could never do on our own. This is the work of the Spirit. But the last one is really important. Because in the last verse of this section, he says this: therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in what? Prayer. In what? Prayer. Say it again.
Prayer.
How do you get in to his realm? If God has a, if he has a sphere and it's faith, how do you get there? You don't get there with good ideas. You don't get into God's realm with intellect. You can't get into God's realm with experience. I have people try to do things, they tell me things all the time, and they think that because they have so much experience that everything is gonna go great. You don't get into God's realm because of intellect, ideas, experience, or pieces of paper with vision on them, or friends, and you just, there's only one way to get in. It's prayer. It's prayer is how we get in. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer. Whatever I ask in what? Prayer. Whatever I ask for in prayer. Not in how many pages I can produce in a vision statement or a 10-year, which we have all those things. But if we don't pray, it's whatever we ask for in prayer, because in prayer, the Holy Spirit touches our hearts. In prayer, we move the heart of God. In prayer, we hear things prophetically that you're not going to hear in the middle of a meeting if we don't ever have prayer. You've got to have something that says, if I'm going to go into the door of the metron of faith for this house, for the Pearl Church, for this city, for what God has spoken for the last 13 years, we're not going to do it with more meetings unless they're prayer meetings. It's time to open the door of the sphere with prayer. We're going in. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God, and we're going to do it right now. So everybody stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray. We're going to wrap this service up, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do next week. And as you're standing, some of you standed really fast and some of you standed really slow. And I trust me, I'm 55. I'm slow. But how many of you have passion to see God move? Okay. All right. You're going to pray with me now. If you're visiting today, welcome to the Pearl Church. We're going to pray. I need some of this. I need some whatever that is. Where is she? That's fake. There she is. There she is. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we submit to your authority. Lord, we submit. We tap out. Lord, we've wrestled, we fought, we tap out. You win. Like, I don't have any energy left. I don't have any ideas left. I don't have anything else to put on a piece of paper. I just submit. Lord, you know our hearts. And so I'm asking you, Lord, today we enter into the sphere of God through faith. And Father, we speak faith over this house. We speak faith over the city. We speak faith over every family, every single, every married, every family with kids, every couple. I speak faith in Jesus' name. Why? Because we just give up. Can't do this without you. This isn't an exercise of intellect. It's the path of intercession. And today we're moving in, we're going in. And today, Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that you will move in a way that we can't move. You will move the things we can't move. And we speak to those mountains in the name of Jesus. And we say, you be cast into the sea. And Lord, we enter in with prayer. I pray that there would be a spirit of prayer that would come upon our church this year. I pray for intercession to be like incense up to God as we make our hearts cry known to you. And Lord, I pray that we would align our natural with your supernatural. I pray that we would align our hands with what we see in heaven, which is revival and healing and prayer and transformation. I pray, Lord, that we would come into alignment with who you are today. And we ask you in prayer, church, as I close, please lift your hands with me. Lift your hands up to Jesus, just in a sign of surrender, and say this with me out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, we surrender. We give up, we tap out, and we give everything to you. Jesus, I love you. Come on, say, Jesus, I love you. And Father, open up the windows of heaven on this house in Jesus' name. Now, before we close, eyes closed, just one more thing. If you're here this morning, and if your relationship with God has been a little bit of a mess, just dead, just quiet. I sense there's somebody here, your relationship with God is like quiet. There's been no activity, and you want there to be activity, and you hear the silence of him calling. Silence sometimes is simply God calling. Some of you here today, you need to restore just that relationship with Jesus. Just take the step with me. I'm gonna count to three, and when I do, just lift your hands. I'm gonna pray for you, and we're done. Okay, but I believe somebody needs prayer today for their relationship with Jesus. If that's you, when I count to three, lift your hands. One, two, three. There you go. Hands all over the room. Hands all over the room. Father, these people that are lifting their hands, they're saying, Lord, here I am in the natural and I need the eternal. I'm moving my eyes from myself to you. And Lord, I love you today. I pray, Lord, that you wouldn't be silent anymore, but they would hear your voice. They would hear you call. I pray, Lord, that you would love them so abundantly, so extravagantly, that they would never be the same again. Lord, we love you today. Jesus, I pray for these that have their hands lifted. Let this be a life-changing year for them. Church, pray this as we wrap it up. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my messes, all my mistakes, all my sin. I need you desperately. Come into my life. Take it. Change it. I love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Come on, clap your hands for Jesus this morning. Okay, church. Next Sunday, there's a little card in between your seats. If you can find that card, would you grab it real quick as I give a little instructions, and then we're going to sing a song and you guys can leave. And there's a little card in between your seats that looks just like this. This week, between now and next Sunday, we would like you as a family or an individual to pray about what you might sow into what God is doing. If there's something specific that touched your heart, put it on there. Because we want to raise some money this year above and beyond what we can do on our own. It takes all of us together believing God. And I believe that God, when you sow the seeds, he's going to bless you. He is. Because I believe you're sowing into eternity. You're sowing into the supernatural. You're putting your seed into the realm of God, into the realm of faith. So you're going to take this and you're going to take it home. You're going to pray over it. Then next Sunday, you bring it. Now next Sunday, even if you don't have anything to give, and by the way, it's not about the size of the gift. It's about giving itself. It's about honoring God. If you don't have anything to give, I'm still going to pray for you next week because I'm going to pray for your finances and for your family. Take that card and just hold it right here like this. Put it right out in front of you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to your people and your family, and we declare as the Pearl Church that we will accomplish all the things that God has called us to accomplish in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Take this card with you. Bring it back next Sunday.